Let me say again, good to have everybody here tonight. And it's been a raining. And Rick always told me, that's my pastor, he said two or three drops of rain will keep a lot of people home. And I'll tell you what, I'm glad it didn't keep my Savior from doing what he came down here to do. Not only did he finish the work, but glory to God, he went up, worked a little more to prepare a place for us. And glory to God, I can't wait to see the place God's got prepared. Amen, Sister Cullen. I'm kind of homesick for heaven. And I about had my fill of the world. We watch the news a little bit, and all it is, it just kind of shows you how bad a mess you can get when you turn from God to the devil and to sin. And you just see things just condescending, and just keep going down and down and down. I'm glad, praise God, heaven. Man, oh man, it ain't polluted with sin. And everybody's happy, Sister Molly. I'm glad there is a place for the people of God. The Bible said it's a glorious rest. It says let every man strive to enter therein. And we'll be preaching tonight our last message in the series that we've been preaching. I don't know why I felt led of God to go this way, but it was in my heart heavy about a closer look at Jesus. And I enjoyed that first message about as good as anything, because the closer you look at Him, the better He looks. And I've had a lot of things that I've bought and I brought home, and the closer I looked at them, they didn't look as good as when I purchased them. And if I looked a little closer, I probably wouldn't even have bought them, but that's not so with Jesus. Praise God, every part of Him. I'll tell you what, you can examine Him and you can scrutinize Him, and the more you look, the better He looks. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright, we'll read our text. We'll be actually preaching. If you want to open up your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'll be reading here out of Hebrews chapter 2, and I'll just read verse 9. And it says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren." I want to read one more place here in Hebrews. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." I'm going to be preaching the last message on a closer look at Jesus tonight. And I started out with his miraculous birth, and it was a miraculous birth that a virgin did conceive, bear a son, and called his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then we went from his miraculous birth to his youth, and then from his youth to the Lamb. I do want to say this. He wasn't just the Lamb of God, but praise God, he's my Lamb. Amen. And we'll read here in Timothy. I'll read the whole chapter. Catch us up on some of our Bible reading. But our text verse tonight will be verse 17. And Paul here, writing to young Timothy, a young preacher, Paul writing from a prison, the Mamertine prison, he writes this epistle. And he says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace, from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that to teach no other doctrine." Now we've come down to day and time where most people don't put a lot of emphasis on doctrine. But I'll tell you right now, God's very interested in doctrine. And Paul here making mention that they teach no other doctrine. He said, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. He said, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, which some having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jaggling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murders of fathers and murders of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves of mankind. I wonder what he's trying to say right there in that word in there. For manslayers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that's contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, put me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. This is our text verse tonight. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, of whom I've delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. We'll stop our reading right there. I'm preaching tonight on the King. Jesus went from the babe in the manger to a young lad to a lamb. And I want to preach tonight on Jesus the King, and I ask you to pray with me tonight. Father, I thank you for the privilege to brag on your Son. How blessed, Lord, it's been, Lord, to take the Bible and take the Scriptures that you give us, Lord, to look in them, to be able to see your Son, as most people don't know Him. And I do pray, dear Father, tonight for those that are here, and those that are here this message by way of internet, Lord, I pray our eyes be open with eyes salve. I pray our ears be unstopped. I pray our hearts be enlarged. I pray, Lord, we'd receive readily, Father, Lord, the testimony of your dear Son. And I pray, Lord, dear Father, we could be encouraged in the day and hour we're living in, and to realize that our King is soon to come back. And Father, I pray you'll be exalted. And I pray, Lord, you'd be pleased, Lord, with everything said and done tonight. I yield myself to you, a vessel. Lord, I pray, meant for the Master's use. Pray, Lord, you'd give to me to give to these. And I'll give you all the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Like I said, we're on the last message in this series on a closer look at Jesus. And a lot of people don't look at Him like this, but He's the King. Amen. And I tell you what, He's not just the King, He's my King. Hallelujah. But also, I meant to mention this last time about the lamb. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 3, it said, every man is to get a lamb for a house. I'm glad, praise God. Then I got my lamb, amen. But I also got my king, glory to God. In Psalm chapter 10, verse 16, it says the Lord is king forever, amen. And as much as they want to do away with him, I'll tell you what, they've got much to do with him. They'd be a whole lot more ready. Or there'd be a whole lot better to make room for him. He's not just king of kings. That means king over all. But he's Lord of lords. That means he's God over all, amen. Revelation 19:16. Let me say this, the king's coming. Have you made ready? Have you made preparation to meet the king at his coming? Hey, let me say this, the headlines will never say that the king is coming. Now they can see Elvis Presley as the king of rock and roll. They can see somebody else as the king of soul. I don't remember his name. Some black guy said he's king of soul. But I want you to know the king of souls is coming, Molly. It won't be in the headlines. It won't be on the news. It won't be on the radio. It'll be an hour. No man thinks he's going to show up, Keith. And not only going to show up, glory to God, he's going to show up as king. Amen. And the kings this earth are going to run to hide. But there ain't going to be no hiding place. They've been better off to have recognized him instead of rejected him. They've been better off to have been more complimented to the contrary of him, because buddy, he's coming back as king, glory to God, hallelujah. Amen. I can't wait till he comes back. It won't be in the headlines, but I'll tell you, buddy, he's coming back. He's in the making of coming back, and it looks pretty soon the way things are looking. Them wise men, when they came in Matthew chapter 2, verse number 2, they said, where is he that's born king of the Jews? I guess you could say that was his beginning, his birthright. He was born to be king. Even though at that time he was about 2 years old. They said, where is he? Born king of the Jews. Now, that wasn't received very well. Herod, that bothered him. That bothered all Jerusalem. There's all trouble at the thought, who is this king that's in our midst? But he was there. They saw, they acknowledged, they knew, they said, we've seen his star and we've come to worship him. That's probably the first announcement in the New Testament of the fact that he was king, Carolyn, king of the Jews. It take me just a minute where I'm going, just bear with me. But they got all shook up over that. Matthew chapter 21, then I will turn there. He gets recognized for just a little while as king. Matthew chapter 21, then says, go tell you the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the ass and the colt, and they put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes went before and followed, crying, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, again his Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. I want you to know, buddy, he made his entrance into Jerusalem. And the first time he was 2 years old. Now he's 33 and a half years old. And both times, buddy, he shook them up. Amen. Who is this? In St. John chapter 19, I'll be all over the Bible. That's the way the Bible is. You're supposed to be all over it. You're supposed to compare spiritual with spiritual and scripture with scripture. But in St. John chapter 19, you probably will turn. I'm going to quote quite a bit of St. John here. But in St. John, verse number 14, says, then it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour, talking about Pilate, and he said unto the Jews, behold your king. And they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. I want you to know, buddy, they made a terrible mistake, but a lot of people make the same mistake to this day, Brother Melvin. A lot of people, they won't have him as their king. They'll have someone else. Oh, they're trusting in Obama. They're trusting in a Democrat, Republican. They're trusting in a bank account. Oh, they're trusting in, a lot of people are turning to this Muslim faith now. One reason they're turning is they don't want their head cut off. And you know, fear is a pretty good motivator. That's how these dictators work. And they set their men up on high. Well, I'll tell you what, buddy. A lot of people, they don't want him to be their king. They say, give me another king. That's one of the mistakes Israel made. They come to Samuel and said, we want a king. And God said, give him a king because they don't want to worship me. They don't want me. Go ahead and give him a king. And he gave him Saul. And Solomon told him, he said, he's going to take all your wealth. He's going to take your sons. He's going to take your daughters. They said, we don't care. Give us a king. Boy, the world wants a king, Brother Melvin. But they don't want the King of Kings. They don't want the right king. They want their king. Pilate said, shall I crucify your king? Carol and they said, we have no king but Caesar. Boy, it's a sad statement. Here he is. He's come, made his entrance in Jerusalem, born for this very reason. Their king, the one that they asked for, the one that they needed, now shows up and they said, away with him. Crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. But that caused the blood to run through the streets for the Jewish nation. When they said his blood be on us and on their children, buddy, they started burying children. They started burying family members. Because I'll tell you what, they brought a curse on them. He came to his own received him not. And I'll tell you what, buddy, they should have received him. I mean, that's the very reason he came to this world. He come down, buddy, as a babe. He rose up as a young boy. He was saw and recognized as the Lamb of God. And now he's made his, introduction as king. And they said, we have no king but Caesar. And Pilate here, buddy. Now he's a politician. He lives for this moment right here. I mean, this is what politicians do. They try to cause. I think it may have been Hillary Clinton that said, let no calamity or no trouble, let it not go. They utilize those things. They take those crises and through them troubles and crises, they're able to abound. They're able to take advantage of you because they know during that time they can get away with anything. Pilate here, he's a politician. He's taking advantage of this. I mean, this is one of them moments, buddy, that politicians look for. He's got a bunch of people here. They're in tumult. Their king right here. And they're denying their king. And they're saying, away with him. Crucify him. And Pilate says, shall I crucify your king? That's what politicians live for. Situation just like this right here. And buddy, he's not no novice. Man, he's loving every minute of this. And they said, we have no king but Caesar. Then Pilate wrote a title over Jesus. If you look at verse 19, said, and Pilate wrote a title, and here it is. He said he put it on the cross. Now here Jesus is. He's getting ready to be crucified. And they crucified him with two malefactors according to the Bible. One on one side and one on the other, and Jesus in the middle. And Pilate puts a title, and he puts it on the cross, and the writing of it was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, and in Greek, and in Latin. And then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but then he said, I am King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I've written. But he took full advantage of this opportunity. But I want you to know, buddy, if he's not your king, then you're no better than those Jews that delivered him up and demanded him be crucified. Let me say this, he didn't just die, but he died pleading on their behalf. He died praying for their well-being. Boy, what a king. What a king. Put himself at a loss so we could have the gain. That's the king we need. That's the one, buddy, the government's going to be on his shoulders, Sister Molly. He's going to rule and reign, and I'll be glad when he does. I'm getting so sick and tired of, I'll tell you what, these cover-ups. I'm getting sick and tired of these runarounds. I'm getting sick and tired of these somehow just denial about You know what they've done or what needs to be done. I tell you what, bud, I'm looking forward to him setting up his throne and ruling him, ruling and reigning with a rod of iron, and the government going to be on his shoulder, and it's going to straighten out a bunch of this mess down here. Man, we could use some Jesus right now, Brother Melvin. We could use some Jesus right now. I wish there was some Jesus in our schools. I believe it's straightened up some of the mess in our schools. Man, I tell you what, they got to bring dogs in our schools now, sniff out the drugs. They've got to give children as young as I forgot this new age, 13 or 14 or something like that. They've got to give them now the morning after pill. And you know, it's dangerous. But we're not worried about dangers. We're just trying to make a cloak for our sin. And somehow or another, but our children being exploited. And the reason they are, because we don't have the right king. We got a king, but it's not the right king. We got the king of pride. We got the king, I tell you what, of sin. And I tell you what, buddy, he's making a mess of things. But when the rightful king shows up, glory to God, he's going to clean the mess up. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, I wish he'd come. I know he's not delaying his coming, but he can't come soon enough for me or quick enough for me. Man, if he wasn't going to come, nobody but me, I wish he'd come. I know Charlotte don't like hearing me talk like this. But I have to admit, buddy, I want to meet my king. I want to be where he is. Amen. I'll tell you what, I'm glad it's not no fairy tale. Peter said we've not followed cunning device fairy tales, but I see he said we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Majesty, that's talking about king. I've never met nobody of royalty, Brother Melvin. But I'll tell you what, this is about the greatest royalty gets. Hallelujah. I mean, kings are going to bow to him. And they make a big deal about all these, what do you call them, royalty things over in England over, you know, the queen and all these princes and all that stuff. And they think they're better than us. They ain't no better than us. All they are is just dust and ashes. But glory to God, the king's going to show up. Hallelujah. The real king. They're going to bow down to him whether they're saved or not. Because the Bible said in his name every knee is going to bow. And in heaven and earth. I can't wait to see that old devil get down on them knees and choke by on his tongue. And I'll tell you what, buddy. Have to choke out the words, Jesus, your Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, everybody ought to have a king like him. Everybody ought to have a home where the king can come in and visit. Brother Melvin, I called him to testify this morning, and I was kind of hoping he'd share something with y'all that he shared with me. But I'm glad, praise God, this king's approachable. I'm glad you can come to this king about anything. And praise God, you can make your petition known. And I'm glad, praise God, he's willing not just to hear, but also to answer. I've had a few times, but I had to get to McCain. I've had a few times I said I need to talk just a minute. And glory to God, I'm glad for a king like that. I don't know the number to the White House, but I believe if I could find the number, I believe all I'd either get is an answer machine or a click at the other end. But hallelujah, thanks to my King, I've got access to the highest authority there is. Praise God. I thank God for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And listen, if you're here tonight, He's not your King. You're no better than these Jews that demanded Him to be delivered up and that He be crucified. And I'll tell you right now, He's not just the King of Kings, but He's also the risen, reigning King and the coming King. Amen. Psalms chapter number 2. The last place I'll read tonight. Psalms chapter number 2. Starting in verse number, can't tell if this is, I guess it's verse 1. It says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? It says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. They'd like to away with Him. They'd like to get rid of Him. But look at verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. You know, man have always wanted their Caesar. They've always wanted their way. They've always wanted their sin. God won't withhold any good thing from you. If sin was good for you, God let you have it. He wants you to have the best, amen. Now, but sin's not the best. Sin will make a wreck. It'll ruin you, amen. When sin's finished, James said it brings forth death. But they think they just get rid of this king. If they can somehow break his band, if they can somehow cast away his cords from them, that they can go do that which they want to do, I guess live in pleasure and sin. And I tell you what, buddy, the Lord, He's king, and He's going to laugh at all their efforts. Verse 5 says, then shall He speak unto them. in his wrath and vexed them in his sore displeasure. Yet it kind of turns right here. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Have you set your king upon your holy hill? And if you're not, you're going to be like this bunch right here that God's going to laugh at. And I'll tell you what, buddy, in wrath, he's going to vex them in sore displeasure. They're going to wish they'd made ready to meet him. They're going to wish that they'd had time for him. They're going to wish that they'd made room for him. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad, Molly, I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Verse 7 said, I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. I got born into the family of God, and now I'm part of the family. Praise God. I may not look like it, but I'm royalty. I kind of got it imputed to me, but I got it anyway. Then God tells me, He said, ask of me, and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. God, I'll tell you right now, buddy, He's a giving God. He's a gracious God. Bible says all good gifts come down from above. He gives good things.
Yes, He does.
Amen.
And it's His to give. He gives all. He wants to give. It's His desire to give. If you need something, He'll give it to you out of His riches and glory. But if you don't need something, He'll withhold it from you because He wants you to have the best. But I'll tell you what, if you got the right king, He'll do the right thing. If you ain't got the right king, I'll tell you what He'll do, make a fool out of you. You'll realize one day, maybe too late, how big a fool you've been. But He said, ask of me and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. The earth is the Lord's, the Bible says, and the fullness thereof, it's His to give. He can give you all you need. He can give you all you want. But you'll have to see Him. Here, this here kind of turns to Jesus. And it's talking about all power being given unto Him. And this position of power, God says, verse 9, that thou shalt break them with the rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like potter's vessels. I want you to know, buddy, when the king comes, he's going to clean house.
Amen.
Amen. He's going to make short work of it too, buddy. They might have laughed at him when he was down here as a lamb. They might have laughed at him when he's down here as a lad. They might have laughed at him when he's down here as a baby, but they ain't going to laugh at him when he comes back as king. As a matter of fact, buddy, they're going to be at a sore disadvantage because he's going to come this time. And John said, I looked around, I heard a voice. I looked around and I saw behind me. And he described Jesus. He said his eyes were as fire. I want you to know, buddy, he ain't a lamb no more. I want you to know, buddy, he's going to straighten this mess out. And the sooner the better. But he's going to come down, buddy. And he's going to break in pieces with a rod of iron. He's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And it ain't going to take him too long to set up his kingdom. It says, be wise now, therefore, you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. There's some big men down here. They think they're above you and me. Supreme Court. It's amazing. People can vote. In California, that they can vote that a marriage be only between one man and one woman, and an unjust judge thinks he's above people, can override the vote of the people. That's why we have vote. That's why we have freedom in America. So we can say we don't want that, or we can say we do want that, and sometimes we vote for the wrong things. I think it was a big mistake when they voted for alcohol. Up here in Somerset, I think that was a mistake, but we make a lot of mistakes. But people think they're above you and I. Mm-hmm. They won't be above Him.
That's right.
I tell you right now, buddy, they're going to have a rough going when they run into this king. Because all of a sudden they're going to see themselves to be but men. They're going to lose their high and lofty position, Molly. And they're going to have to fall down.
That's right.
Before this king.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Man, I've been going over good with y'all, but I'm enjoying every minute of it. I tell you right now, I wish the king would show up tonight. Hallelujah. I tell you what, buddy, we're right for his coming. And I'll tell you what, buddy, when he does come, like John said, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And he's going to make a short work of it. No more. No more lying. No more leaving the truth. For you to come to your own conclusion, But all of a sudden, buddy, now everything's going to be right out there in the open. And he's going to straighten it out. It says, "Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear." Boy, it'd be good if our leaders had the fear of God.
Amen.
"Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." Can you imagine if our leaders publicly said we need the Lord, we need to repent of our sins, we need to return to the Lord, He's the only one that can save, He's the only one that's a safe place. Right now, Israel's bombing Syria, right now. And that's just beginning what's going to escalate. And when it escalates, the reality of this Bible is going to become real. People's going to start flocking. This little church is going to fill up, Brother Mevin. People's going to run in here and say, "What's going on? I want to hear from the Word of God." And you know, when there's a calm, people, they're at ease. And the Bible does say, "Woe to them who are ease in Zion." But when this Bible starts being fulfilled, when this Bible starts filling jots and tittles, and people start seeing the reality of this Bible, they've been making a joke out of it, they've been laughing at it, they've been saying fruity duddy and all that stuff. But Gideon speaking this morning, this young boy got saved, Keith, and he come home, his daddy said, "I'll give you a motorcycle if you'll stop going to church." He said, "Daddy, I'd like to have that motorcycle, but I ain't stopping going to church."
Amen.
I mean, buddy, he met something worth meeting. He met Jesus.
Amen.
Man, his daddy, he didn't know no better. His daddy, carnal, you know, worldly. He said, "Son, I'll give you a motorcycle if you'll stop going to church." He thought his son done lost his manhood, Brother Melvin. That little boy was more of a man than his father. His father ought to be going with him. His father ought to be one leading in that matter.
That's right.
But I'll tell you what, buddy. Hallelujah. When he comes, there's going to be a lot of things change. Amen. This Bible, all of a sudden, it's going to be more valuable. They're going to start digging it out. Where's that Bible? What did that word say? Kind of like that king I met this morning, Jeremiah. He said, "Is there any word from the Lord?" Jeremiah said, "There is." And it wasn't good. He said, "You're going to die." The reason he's going to die is because he wouldn't let God be God. He thought he is king above God. And if he just submitted himself to the King of Kings, he could have lived. God told him how to live. He said, "Just go out and surrender and you can live." And he's too afraid to obey God. And he died. He died because of that, Carolyn, and Jeremiah there. I think it was, I can't say his name, Jehoiakim or something like that. He says any word from the Lord. He finally got desperate enough to call Jeremiah in there. He's scared. He knows he's going to die. Things are closing in. He's looking bad. And he called him in. He says, "Is there any word from the Lord?" He said, "Yeah, there is. You're going to die if you don't listen." And he wouldn't listen, Keith. And he died. All he had to do was go out there and surrender. And God said, "I'll let you live." See, that's a humbling thing for a king to do. Got to go out there and surrender. Old Eddie Wade had to step down from his throne. And I had to surrender. But when I did, I got exalted.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. God's got better things in mind. But the world don't look at it like that. The world looks like that they've got something to lose. No, they've got something to gain. I'll tell you what, buddy. I knelt down. And if I'd had any idea what I was missing out on, I'd knelt down a whole lot earlier. But anyway, I did finally get down. And glory to God, I thank God for that moment, that minute, when I met Him. And hallelujah, He's my King now, glory to God. But it says, "Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling." The things that's coming upon this world, wrote in this Bible, they're coming. They're going to come quick. The Bible said in Luke chapter 21 that men's hearts are going to fail with fear because of these fearful sights that's coming upon the world. Talked about distress of nations. Right now there's kind of like a calm before this hits. But when this thing hits, it's going to come fast. And I'll tell you what, buddy, I'm glad I've got a safe place, a refuge. Hallelujah. I'm not worried about the things that's coming. I'm looking forward to the one that is coming. Verse 12, the last verse here says, "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." I thank God for the day that I put my trust in Him. The Bible said, "Blessed are they that put their trust in Him." If you've not trusted in Him, there's still time. If you don't know Him, there's still time. And I'll tell you right now, He's a gracious God. He's a not only King, but He's a kind King. And right now, buddy, He's giving you opportunity just like He gave Jehoiakim, I believe that's his name there in Jeremiah. All he had to do was surrender. All God's telling you to do, all you got to do is surrender. But I'll promise you this, and I'll tell the world the same thing I'm telling you. If you don't, you'll have hell to pay. If you don't, you won't leave with this king. You'll perish with the king that's down here right now. Bible said about the devil, he's the king of pride. Bible said about the devil, he's the king of terror. But this king right here, even the devil's afraid of him. The Bible said the devil believed in God and trembled. He's afraid of this king. But the good thing about this king is he stretched out his hand and says, come, I'll receive you. Come, I'll save you. Come, I'll give you a place in heaven. I haven't been to heaven yet. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm a going.
Amen.
I'm going to see the king in his glory, Carolyn. I'm going to see him high and lifted up. I'm going to see him and I'm not going to visit. I'm going there to stay. Amen. We've got reservations. My name's already in the log book. I don't know the exact point of time. I'm always a little late, seems like. But I'll be right on time this time, Mark. I'll be right on time. I'll get to see the king. I'll get a special. We went up there to I think it's Montgomery, Alabama. One of her, on behalf of Judge Roy Moore, he stood the Ten Commandments and he refused to take them out of his office because when he swore in, one of the things he swore to do, he was Supreme Justice, I believe, but one of the things he swore in to do was to uphold the law, and the law hangs on those Ten Commandments. You can't even enforce the law without those Ten Commandments. But he had swore to uphold the law. And we went up there, King of Kings Radio, before we got all this all together, and it sounded good to me, and I went with them. We went up there, and a lot of veterans were there to speak on behalf of Judge Roy Moore, and believe it or not, I met Mel Gibson's father there. He ain't that tall, little bitty guy. But anyway, all these great, I mean men of great integrity, stepped up to the podium and spoke on behalf of Judge Roy Moore. Highly decorated men. I mean, I'm talking colonels and had medals and stuff all over them. Men very distinguished. And while they were speaking on behalf of Judge Roy Moore, the churches of that area were on the other side and they were cursing and making fun of all of the people that was on the side of Judge Roy Moore. And I didn't know this, but David Carr had arranged for us to meet Judge Roy Moore. I had never met nobody like this man. Judge Roy Moore was probably one of the greatest men I guess I've ever met in my life. I just didn't realize there were men like this in the world, but we went over there to meet him at the rotunda, and the police blocked the road, wouldn't let us through. And David Carr, he said, would you mind please calling because we do have an appointment to meet him. And the policeman, he kind of laughed at that, but he dialed that number. And I could tell by the look on his face, but he was getting done that. He said, well, sir, we've got an invitation to go meet the judge. And we met him that. We walked in at return and it was beautiful. We met Judge Roy Moore, a man of high integrity. Oh, man. Kind of man we need in office. Not only was he a saved man, but you know how preachers are, I try to quote a verse, you know, he quoted the whole chapter. Man, I'm telling you, very verse, man. Had the greatest admiration for him. He had the right standard, he had the right moral, he had the right spirit about that job that he was doing, and they robbed him of that position. But I think he got reinstated, and I praise the Lord for that. I got to meet a man that very great in the day and hour we're living in, but even greater still is the one I'm talking about tonight, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it was a blessing to be able to go in there and meet him, and it was a hardship, but a blessing worth every bit of the hardship. And the thing that surprised me was the churches that opposed this great man of God, Judge Roy Moore, a great man. And what a privilege it was for me to meet him. I took a video camera with me, but when I got down in Rotunda, I'd done film so much about him and what they did, and I couldn't get to come on enough to film him. But I did film all of the churches and all the hate signs they had up there and all of that, and it kind of turned your stomach to see You know, you'd think the church would be pulling for him, but they were the ones that were opposing him. It's kind of sad. I mean, the very ones that really should have been standing with him were the ones that were standing against him. But I'll tell you right now, they should have been wise. They should have been instructed. Because it says, be wise now, therefore, you kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And I'll tell you right now, buddy, the king is coming. And they are going to make room for him. This time, they're not going to laugh. This time, they're not going to crucify. This time, they're going to realize they should have let him be their king. Because he owns it all. He's coming for his possession. He's coming for the things that belong to him. And the world somehow or another think they've undermined God and somehow they beat God out. No, they're in for a big surprise.
That's right.
What about you tonight? See your king? What about you tonight? Are you ready to meet the king? If not, I sound kind of like a broken record here. But if you're not ready to meet the king, there's no better time than right now. I'm glad I'm ready.
Amen.
I'm glad, praise God, if he called tonight, Molly, I'd answer, and I'm out of here. I'm ready. If you're not ready tonight, think about what I'm saying. All the things I've told you tonight are true. Jesus even said, if it wasn't so, I'd have told you. I'm telling you, the king's coming.
Yeah.
Make ready to meet the king. Father, we thank you for the privilege again to brag upon your son. Lord, the world doesn't want nothing to do with him. The world's just like the Jews. They want away with him. They want to somehow rid themselves of him. But oh, how he loves them. Lord, you're long-suffering. You've delayed your coming just for their sake, that they might get saved. And Lord, maybe we've got someone here tonight that's not saved. And I pray, dear Father, tonight for the help of the Holy Ghost of God. And Lord, you might convince them there's no better time than right now. For Lord, you may very well make your cry tonight at the midnight hour. And Lord, they'll be unprepared. They'll be left behind. And Lord, it'll be awful. But I'm glad, praise God, for those that are ready to meet him when he calls. Pray you help us in this invitation. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand. Think about what I said. What I've told you tonight's true. The one that was born 2013 years ago that died on Hilco Golgotha at the age of 33 and a half years. What done in the corner? Not no fairy tale. The whole world, even Josephus, an unsaved man, bear record of this one called Jesus. He's coming. Are you ready? Go ahead, brother.
164.
If you're not ready tonight, listen with urgency. Come right now. Don't even wait. Just come on down. Jesus, for the cleansing power. If you're not, do it now. If you're not, no better time than right now. This are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Yes, I'm washed in that blood, in the soul. When the blood of the Lamb, that blood may be ready. That blood that he provided is my protection. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He's my Passover lamb. He's my coming king. Listen, if he's not your Passover lamb, he's still going to be the coming king. You're going to try to run and hide. You're not going to be no hiding place. I'll tell you right now, if you're ready to meet this king, I'm telling you, buddy, the world's not ready, but you get ready. Get ready to meet this king. Come on. In the blood, in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb. Yes, my garments are spotless, white as snow. Think about it. King will come tonight. Work will be done. Rest forevermore. Place called it. Or be tormented forever in a place prepared for the devil and his angels. And God gave you a choice. You can make your choice right now. I don't want to go to the flames. don't want to go to a torment. I don't want to gnaw my tongue for pain. I don't want to sit there and be reminded I come out of home in heaven. You can make preparation to meet this King. He's come. They come tonight. I never dreamed we'd go into this year of 2013, but here we are. Just a sign of His love and lonesomeness. Are you here tonight? Doubt ready to meet this King? Not going to leave with that number. That great number that's going to meet Him at His coming. I'm going to meet Him. There's going to be a multitude. Going to leave out. Going to be left behind. Thank you, Brother Pepper. Amen. I thank God for the King of Kings. I thank God for the Lord of Lords. I thank God for His love. I thank God that He didn't leave us. Praise God, He comes to us. In our hour, He comes. Maybe somebody's got a word in your heart tonight. I appreciate the message tonight. Praise God, I like bragging about Jesus. Anybody got anything?
I praise the Lord tonight and I thank Him for the blood.
Amen.
I thank Him that we don't have to go get that lamb just for a period of time.
That's right.
Now we've always got the lamb. I thank Him for that blood He shed on Calvary.
Bless you, Molly.
I love you tonight.
One thing about Molly, if she ever testifies, she talks about that precious blood. Old song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, He provided the blood. And I took that which was provided. Now, praise God, my sins are covered by the blood. Never be remembered no more against me. The Bible said they're cast as far as the east is from the west. The Bible said He cast them in the sea of forgiveness. Never remember no more against me. Somebody wrote a song called What's Sin? And it's a good song. Anybody else got a word in their heart tonight?
The song says, I found a treasure when I found Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the truth. I say you can fill a church that's just full, you get $100 bill, and I wouldn't take them before my chance of going to heaven through Jesus.
Blood. Amen, Brother Melvin.
You know, I've never been sorry except when I did. And I was 23, almost 24. And I've never heard nobody say they sorry until you get saved, you know. So they don't know what the message is, they ain't been saved. So, everybody in this neighborhood, I wish everybody could be saved for that matter, you know.
Amen. Yeah.
That's the most precious thing. If they do get saved and feel that presence of the Lord, you know, in their heart.
Amen.
Day to day, and then also have hope for eternal life. That's what's really going to count.
That's right.
It's too short to be worth very much, you know, any other way, you know. But preparing place what it is, ain't it?
Yeah.
Prepared to meet the Lord.
We're ripe. I mean, we're at the climax of what the Bible calls the beginning of sorrows.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, things are fixing to happen. They're going to happen fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even going to challenge some of your faith. It really is. I hope you're deep-rooted in this Bible so it won't take you by surprise. So when you see all these things coming, that you can see these signs and look up and know that your redemption is nigh.
Amen.
But it's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
They surprise a lot of people. A lot of churches may not be as solid as they think they are, but I'll tell you one thing. If you've got it in His hands, you're safe. Amen. Anybody else got a word in your heart tonight?
The little boy got sick and had to go home.
Little Lex?
Yeah.
Bless his heart.
Remember him, Bernie, Wednesday night, he said he had cancer.
Leukemia. They said he's got some nice hair on his neck.
Well, did they really have it, or was he just thinking?
I don't know. Bobby was telling me, I guess it was when you, Bobby, that he got some knots on his neck.
He had filled his neck, and he said it was cancer, and then he said, no, it's not cancer. Well, then later he came back here, and he said, I know what it is, it's leukemia.
Yeah, that's what they say. They say he's got leukemia.
He said
fine little young boy.
Yeah, he said he had it.
But then a lot of kids get those knots on their neck.
Well, I hope he's all right. I appreciate him coming up here. That's pretty big, young boy. Walked up here by himself.
Yeah, but he didn't
church.
Go home, basically. If I had to go out there.
Did you?
Watch him get home.
I appreciate you doing that, Sister Margaret. I appreciate that, young boy. You never know what God does or what He's doing. But I believe that young boy's coming for a reason. I believe he's got a reason for coming. And I think he's lonely for one thing, but I think also the Lord's interested in him, drawing him up here. I know He drew me with cords of love. I called the lady this morning that that got saved that my wife told me. She said, you hear about Sandra Ford getting saved, which is my cousin's wife. And I called her this morning. I could tell she was down. I said, Sandra, I sure appreciate the fact you let Jesus be your Lord and Savior, because when you got saved, I got saved. And her husband, Barry, got saved. And you just never know what God's doing. But I don't believe I'd ever got saved if Sandra Ford hadn't got saved. Now, I'm pretty tough. But it got me in. Yeah, I went out there for all the wrong reasons, but God, He got me. He got me to Calvary. He got me saved. And I'm glad I am saved.
Some neighbors over there, too, that's saved. Donald Burton, he's about 80, I guess, close to 80.
Yeah.
Years old. And he sold his farming equipment stuff the other day. You know, his farming days about over. You know,
yeah.
And of course, his age and all. And I asked him about, he never got saved, and he hadn't, you know. And he said he didn't know if he could or not. And I said, well, the Lord said, whosoever wills,
yeah,
drink the water like freely, you know. And that meant him too, you know, and everybody else, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think there's hope as long as his life for the person's body, you know, get saved if they want to. But you know what the Bible says? The day you seek with your whole heart.
Right.
That's how you find it.
Yeah.
And we need to come in earnest and we're seeking the Lord and seeking the Lord's heart. Shed a few tears, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
He'll save us if we want to, bad enough, you know.
Amen, Brother Melvin. The Bible said in St. John, I think it's chapter 1, verse 12, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That He can be saved. He can. Anybody else tonight? Thank you for bearing with me. And have a good week. And if there be nothing else tonight, let's all stand. And we be dismissed tonight. And Brother Bobby, would you please dismiss us for the prayer?
Lord, thank you for this day and the blessings of life. We just thank you for our King.
Yeah, amen. Bless you, brother. Yes, Lord. I pray for Lex, Lord. For everything's all right with him.
Lord, as we go through homes, watch over this week, we'll need to be in this century.
Amen.